Welcome back to Three Black Dots with Dr. Tiffany, Dr. Karen, and Dr. Zanetta.
So here's my work that I've been putting in, because when I sent you guys that picture of the before and after, I really struggled with that. I was really hurt because
why?
I think I was hurt because I felt like nobody told me how bad it was.
You know? How bad what was?
What do you mean?
I was so heavy. And I know you guys didn't know me necessarily. I think you saw me gain weight, but not the weight. You didn't see me from when I was before,
no.
Right? So when you first met me, I was overweight and obese, but it wasn't like I was, but it was bad. And I think part of one of the things, and we can talk about this another time perhaps, and I actually did a video on this, and one of the things that I think I'm going to launch is like a wellness on stuff on my YouTube, because I have a YouTube channel that I don't use, but I think I might kind of do some wellness stuff on there and talk about the journey, like the yoga journey that I've had since Tiffany introduced me to yoga has really changed my mindset and my capacity to think about myself in a very different way, right?
Yep.
And what I realized, and I'm getting to the point, I'm not there yet where I'm willing to share this video with you guys yet, but I did a video, and I was just, it was the same day that I sent you guys that picture where I had been crying because what I realized is, you know, people talk about people who are overweight, or people, even the health discussion that we just started this conversation with, and they say, oh, people are just being lazy, or people are just being, you know, they're just being, what is it that people get labeled all the time? Non-compliant, right?
Yeah.
It's not that at all. I knew what I needed to do. I didn't have the capacity to do it. There was so much stress. There was so much stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And I talked about the fact that, you know, it wasn't until JD died, like because there was so much stress in terms of caregiving and all the stuff that I was doing and putting up with the microaggressions every day at work and all that crap, and then coming home and working at home too. Where's the time to think about yourself?
There's no time.
It just isn't. Like zero. So it's not about being lazy. People like to blame other people all the time. And I think there was just so much pain that I saw in my before and the difference between where I am now. And I realized that's a good proportion of our people. You know, 50% of African Americans are obese or overweight. 50%.
I think it's higher than that.
I was going to say, I thought it was
overweight. Overweight and obese is higher than that.
Yes, it's close to 60%.
Yeah,
it's close.
I think it's higher than that.
Here we are talking about health disparities.
Yep.
Obesity.
Yep.
Is the greatest health disparity of them all, because number one,
it leads
to diabetes, hypertension, cancer. Right.
Cancer. You know that was my research part.
I know.
You know.
Here I am. I'm on the A4C, I'm on the behavioral risk reduction, and my biggest thing is I want to talk about obesity, and I was obese. So I said, I have got to make that change. I've got to change. So I think, you know, I really want to talk about what it is that prevents us from helping each other out. Right? And I'm bringing this up, Z, and I want you to think about this too, because remember when I talked about Lizzo, and I said, you know, Lizzo needs to gain, to lose weight. And you said, does she really? Does she? But she does. Because this is what we're talking about. Obesity is killing Black people.
Yeah.
And you know why we have obesity in this country? We have obesity because of slavery. And I'm not even just saying that to be funny.
Oh, God. You guys.
It's all about slavery.
I was the one who went hardest for Black AF in the beginning. And now.
Girl.
Y'all are like, and once again, we're back in Black AF. Because it all goes.
It's all about slavery.
But so
Karen. Uh oh, let it go.
No, and you know, but like that.
What if you froze?
Damn it! Every time I move, I freeze. Am I back yet?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Every time I move, I freeze. So I'm gonna be still. I was saying that I'm sure we will have this discussion again and in more depth. But like, you know, the obesity part. That's what I started looking at in fellowship. That was my YA, was like obesity as a cause of cancer disparities, right? And so we know that. And And you're right. So the narrative around obesity and why it is can devolve into blame.
Right.
For sure. Right. And I feel like these are the conversations that you and I have had, Karen, you know, where I'm like, well, I just want to give people the knowledge and, you know, teach. And you're like, well, what the hell? You can give them all the knowledge you want if they live in a food desert, which is absolutely true. And it's not that the conversation is around blame. I think that is how it can feel for mm-hmm. sure, and how people can take it for sure. But, you know, point taken, where is the time to take care of yourself? I was in the same place. A lot of the reason I quit the job that I quit, you know, there were a million reasons on paper, but at the end of the day, it was like, and I told Zanetta this, I said, mm-hmm. Zanetta, if I don't quit in 5 years, I'm not going to know who I am.
Right.
And my kids aren't going to know who I am.
Yes.
And
yes.
I could see that happening.
Right.
And so for all of the reasons on paper that I quit and left academics, the largest was that I had the very real realization that I am in a situation where I'm last, I'm not taking care of myself, I'm losing the parts of myself that I like the best. And this has got to change. And it, at that point, it's not even anybody's fault. You know, it's like, I don't even care what happened, who did what to me, what I did, who did what. I just need to get out of this situation and get into a situation where I can put my own well-being first. Everything is going to come after that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and quit your job and blow up your career. You know, I tend to be a bit dramatic.
It helps.
I was like, Jeanette is like, yeah, it was good for me too.
You know, I mean, that's a bit dramatic, and that is not something that I would say everyone should do or even needs to do. Everybody doesn't need to do that, right? Maybe I didn't need to do that, but in that moment, I felt like I had to do
that. You needed to do it because it's...
But Karen, yeah. Do you think that yours, like, evolved over time? Like, because, well, I mean, a lot of it was that you were under some intense pressure. So not only you were a caregiver, but you were traveling every single weekend.
Travel was my escape. So the travel was my escape, just so you know.
That's interesting.
The travel was good for me because...
Yeah.
You got to understand, and it's the same thing here. I am going nuts because, number one, the institution I work for is Cray, right? So when you have Cray Institution, and then on top of that, trying to care for somebody who's incredibly sick, me traveling was a lot. And I didn't travel a lot when Jay was alive because I just couldn't because he was so sick. I literally would limit myself to probably 4 trips a year, and I would try to make it so that Ashley can come home and take care of him when I was away. And that was hard for me because then I was stuck in a place that doesn't feel right to me, right? Clinically.
Right.
There were lots of things that were troubling to me. But yeah, so I actually went back and I found, I was like, I remember doing tracking of my like weight and that kind of stuff. I couldn't remember. I found it on MyFitnessPal. Is it MyFitnessPal? Yes, I think. Going back to 2011. And I hit 200 pounds back then. 2011. It's 9 years ago. And then I came down, but I'd never gotten below 180, right? But you got to think about the fact when I got married to JD in 2003, he was sick then, right? He got sick on our honeymoon and he was sick ever since. So it's really about capacity. It's not even about time because frankly, did I have time to exercise? Sure. But
No, it's
ask
capacity.
Me if I wanted to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do anything. Ask me if I wanted to, like, I just couldn't, and I wasn't even like I was eating a whole lot, but the stress, and that's the thing.
It's the stress.
My caloric intake was not very high. It wasn't much different from what I'm doing now, but frankly, the stress, my cortisol level was probably off the chain, you know, all of those medical issues that are related to stress and anxiety and depression that we don't talk about in the Black community.
Yes.
Is absolutely killing us.
It's killing us.
Doesn't that feed into the Black Superwoman syndrome, though?
Yes. The invisible cape. The invisible cape that we wear.
Yes.
But don't we feel like we have to take it all on? Because if
I think women do.
Yeah, because you
feel
like if you don't do it, who does? And that's the problem.
But you know, would you say, Karen capacity. You know, I started running in medical school. I love to run. The whole time that I was here in my last position, I didn't run. Maybe every blue moon, but it's the same because it was like, I don't have the capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let it go. Yeah. Let it go.
So what
you, I
didn't have the capacity. So, I mean, I get exactly what you're saying. And in fact, it's funny you should mention this today because I was looking at my Fitbit today and, you know, Zanetta, when you asked me what's been going on this week, one of the things that I was like, this has been a great running week for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I did some great runs. I had an awesome hill run today, right? And to me, it's like having the capacity to give time to running again, to feel myself getting strong again and getting back into form again. I didn't have the capacity to do that. You know what I mean?
So Karen, you said you made a statement like you all didn't tell me or like no one told me.
Yes. And yes. You wanted to talk about how people help.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yes. Because can I tell you, so it's fascinating. People are like, oh my goodness, you look so great, blah, 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 blah. So that doesn't mean I don't look great before. People knew I was obese, right? One of the things that I think is really important is how do we tell the people that we care about that there's a medical concern? Because obesity is a medical concern. And I don't think we look at it that way all the time. And I'm saying this because one of my besties said to me, oh my goodness, Wink, you look so great. Oh my goodness. And you looked great when you were, but now look at you, your bikini. And I'm like, no, that's the wrong answer, right? Mm-hmm. Don't make excuses for my obesity, right? And yeah, I could convince myself that I was cute when I was obese, right? I was like, okay, I got my makeup on. I look back and I'm like, wow, I was obese. And we've got to do better. We've got to figure out, number one, how do we have those difficult conversations with the people we care about? But number two, how do we accept it? So the video that I may share, I was like, if somebody had come to me and said, boy, you're gaining weight, I don't know if I'd have been receptive to that, right?
Right.
It's all in how we say it. So how's the conversation? Yeah. How do we have that conversation? How to receive that conversation? Because it's one thing to say, you know what? Because obesity is actually a sign. It's a symptom.
That's right? What I was about to say. Right.
It's a symptom.
Of a different pathology, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It's not just people shoveling food in their mouth. There are people who do that. But even when those who shovel, they're shoveling because of.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it seems like when you approach people, mm-hmm. I mean, it's more not like, oh, you're gaining weight or something. Or in my case, like, oh, goodness, have you lost weight? Like, I get that every other day. More like, what's going on? How are you doing? How can I help you during these times, you know?
But this also goes to capacity. Right. Because if you don't have capacity to take care of yourself first,
how help somebody else?
How can you...
But and this is where we gonna have this. This is gonna be next topic because I really feel I'm feeling this because I'm telling you I'm really close to my goal. I'm struggling with these last few pounds because I'm really trying to do it without exercising. I just want to do diet, but I may have to throw some exercise up in there, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing: we can't skirt around the issue. We cannot skirt around. It's important to tell people what the sign is that you're seeing. What's the symptom that you're seeing, right? Because otherwise it doesn't, if you're just saying, oh, you're gaining weight, or how are you feeling? Because people come up to me all the time, how are you feeling? I'm good. I'm all right. Because we can glaze over that. But it's about how do we, as people who care for each other, and I'm not saying, like, don't come up to me off the street and be like, girl, you fat, you need to handle your business. I'm talking about my people. Right? Y'all are my road dogs, right? I'm talking about you. I'm talking about my girl D. I'm talking about my people who have known me for years. Is there something that they could have said differently? But also, what is it that could have been done to intervene, right?
We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Free Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.
To your point about the capacity piece, and I made this comment in the video, I did try to reach out to my church at the time. Am my church going to send over some dang meals for my husband? Like, no, that ain't it. Like, that's not what I needed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So part of it is, how do we articulate what our needs are? And sometimes when you're deep in it, you can't. I'm telling you from experience, I was so deep in, I couldn't even see straight. I made so many dumb decisions. I made some dumb business decisions because I was just like, I just need to not have one more thing on my plate. So I'm going to sell all my property. So now I have no property. So now when it comes to my assets, I have no property except for the house I'm living in. Dumb decisions because I just didn't have the capacity to think about one more thing.
Actually,
right?
No, that wasn't a dumb decision. People could say it was dumb of me to quit because I didn't have the capacity, but I did what I had to do to save myself in a lot of ways, and so did you. So it sounds like that was the right decision to me. But anyway,
although that property value, I could have had.
Well, don't look at that
chunk of change, right? So that's the problem. I'm just saying. So part of it is, how do we support each other in these things? And I think that for me is what I'd like to talk about.
What I'll say is, it comes to capacity. What I have noticed for myself, and you may have noticed it too, is that when I quit and made space to reorder myself, this is what I noticed. Once I started making changes, right, to have the capacity to take care of myself, I started having the capacity to help other people. That was when I started saying to people, hey, you really need to go to yoga. It really helps with a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, hey, with other friends, when I got back into running, I'm like, hey, this is what got me back into running. Why don't you try this, etc. The point being, I noticed when I got to a point of being more healthy mentally, I had space to then help other people. Do you see what I mean? Yes. So again, it's the idea of, like, if we're all superwoman and we're all in our own heads doing everything,
I hear that.
Then we don't, I mean, you know, a lot of times you can't even help your family, you know, because you got 100 things going. And
here's the challenge, though. When you have greater than 60% of a population that's obese, there's something greater going on.
Yeah.
And it's not okay. And I think, look, and again, and I'm not hating on Lizzo, but she has a platform. Just the same way that Jennifer Hudson had a platform where she lost weight. The challenge is that she might not have been the right person, right? Lizzo, on the other hand, I think she has a different population who listens to her. Here's the challenge. I think we've got to be okay with how our bodies are, where we are, love ourselves where we are. And that's the first step. You have to love yourself where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. You just have to love yourself. And I understand that.
Yep.
But loving yourself also says, what are the things that I need to do that are going to make sure that I'm here for a long time so that other people can love me too?
But I guess who's to say that Lizzo isn't in that space too, you know?
I'm not saying she's not, but she has a platform. That's all I said.
But that might not be, you know, the mantle she wants to carry.
And that's fine. But she still needs to lose weight.
I think that's a hard approach, though. I mean, because if someone had, like, said that to you when you're going through and you're like, when you feel like you're at rock bottom. And we know that.
And
this
I'm not
is,
saying that's not the approach. But I'm saying what I had said, the comment that I made was, wow, she needs to lose weight. And you're like, well, does she really, though?
Because
to
me,
yes,
and the reason why I say that is, look how much she dances. Like, she dances.
Doesn't matter. But she's obese,
right? But there was the lady who did the obesity show.
I read this paper.
No. This was the lady who did the major weight loss show. White lady, goodness, I can't remember her name, but she said the same thing about Lizzo. She was like, I like Lizzo, but she's too fat. She needs to lose weight and she's going to die. She said that.
You mean like Biggest Loser?
The Biggest Loser lady.
Oh, Jillian
Michaels, whatever her name is.
Jillian. Yes. Jillian.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's just like, wow.
But that's in the approach, Karen. I mean, you said it yourself. You got to talk about how to approach this. And that's all I'm saying.
Why we got to pick on Lizzo? Why can't Al Roker just keep talking about his journey? Because clearly, you know,
But here's the difference. Al Roker had surgery and Al Roker could afford surgery. Most of our community cannot do that. So there has to be a different approach, and it's a mindset. So I can tell you, and that's why I feel like from what I think I'm going to try to use for my YouTube, I think what I'm going to do is probably try to put some of what my experience was, because I guarantee you, and this is what hurt me, and it's not, I'm not playing blame, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying we've got to figure out how to have these conversations. So you're right, Z. I can't just go up to Liz and say, you're going to die. You need to lose weight because you're going to die. That's not what the approach I'm saying to have. I'm just saying we need to look at each other and saying, you know what? Obesity is an epidemic in our community. How do we address it? Because, you know, we know that obesity leads to diabetes and hypertension. And, you know, it puts us at greater risk for having cancer, right? It's the number two modifiable risk factor for development of cancer. And it makes cancer treatments much, much more difficult because you can't give them the appropriate chemotherapeutics. And from a radiation perspective, I'm going to burn the crap out of you, you know, and you're going to have much more toxicity because I can't get this freaking treatment into you. We already know that. So we know obesity
is killing
our community.
I don't think we know that.
Oh, really?
We don't know that if you're more obese, you go through radiation, you can have more side effects, or that
yes,
I have to
yes,
dose.
Yes, we do. I can tell you that.
We do.
I can show you data on that. I can show you data on that. The separation.
No, but I'm just saying, our people don't know that.
You might not, but that's right. That's the conversation that needs to be had.
Correct. Which is why we're having.
So it's up to us, right? Which is up to us as the clinicians to say. I think what I'm saying is I don't want us to be the people who are saying, "Oh, well, maybe that person doesn't need to lose weight right now because they might not be in the space." We've got to be figuring out how to have these conversations.
Let me tell you, legit, one of my favorite patients.
And she's going to talk about the soda story.
No, I'm not going to talk about the soda story. I could, but I'm not. She said to me, because this is how much I would talk to people about it. She walked in and I said, oh, you look great today, you know. And she said, yeah, you telling me that now in 5 minutes, you're going to tell me I'm fat. Because I talk about it in clinic. But again,
it's good.
This is the stigma. Well, it's not stigma, but people take it as like Dr. Avery told me I was fat and I needed to lose weight. And I'm like, I'm couching it, the conversation that happened with me when I was practicing, right? And you'll get this too now, Zanetta, when a person finishes breast cancer chemotherapy, it's like, okay, now, no, it's what next? What do I do now? Because there is that transition of being an active patient.
I say that all the time. Lose weight.
Right? Well, and I've said that too. I'm like, okay.
That's after every chemo. Like that's in every.
Okay. Well, I took care of breast cancer people, but okay, fine. We know about that transition from going to an active patient where you are coming in to get chemo, you're doing your thing, yada, yada. You know, everybody is supporting you, all this stuff. Then you're done with your chemo. Everybody goes back to their lives. You're on your own. And then it's like, now what? And I'm like, well, that is in the literature too, right? That
here are some things you can do.
That now what? And I'm like, the now what is we're going to talk about your lifestyle stuff, right? We're going to talk about your weight. We're going to talk about your level of exercise. And the data that shows that if you get X amount of exercise, regardless of whether it changes your weight or not, it impacts your breast cancer recurrence risk, right? Okay. Right. So this is the stuff that I would talk about. So much so, I didn't even realize it until one day she said that. And I was just being my usual self, like, oh, you look great. And she was like, in 5 minutes, you're going to tell me I'm fat and I need to lose weight. And I'm like, am I? Yeah, probably, but not like that, you know? But it's true because we know this is a huge modifiable risk factor for prevention, but also once you've had cancer on recurrence. The other piece of it that I thought was interesting, because I would do a lot of like, here's what you can do to modify your risk as a cancer survivor to decrease the risk of recurrence. People felt again like it was blaming, that like it's blaming people if their cancer comes back, or it's blaming them if they got cancer in the first place, that like they weren't taking care of themselves. And that's not the case either. I mean, we all know people who are the pictures of health who get cancer, do everything after chemo, it comes back. Like, that's not it either. So you're right that this conversation is a difficult one, or how to approach it. Because, you know, in certain situations, I was actually hurt by like, oh, do my patients think that I'm blaming them? I think everybody's fat. Like, no, I'm telling you again how to be empowered, right? Mm-hmm. And here are the things that are within your grasp to do that we know will cut the chance of this cancer coming back. But for some patients, that conversation was received very differently than the way I intended it and the way I delivered it.
Z, what you thinking? Look at Z. Z's got, Z is thinking. What you thinking,
she has that deep thought.
I love it.
No. I'm really just listening because, you know, it almost reminds me of church. I'm sorry. I went to church so much. So everything kind of, I have to like relate to church. And so it's almost like you can kind of preach at people. Like you do this, you do that, and you do that. You can't make people change. I think you can plant seeds
until they're ready,
and until they're ready, and I don't think you can't force someone who is not ready.
So how do we start the conversation and get people ready? Is what I'm saying, because the urgency is now. There's urgency now.
People are absolutely dying now.
Yes.
So Tiffany, when you would have your talks, actually when you were talking, I was actually thinking, Tiffany, how long would you tell people to exercise? What exactly would you tell them to do during those visits? What kinds of foods do they need to eat? What would you say to these survivors?
To Z's point, where are people? How do we figure out where people are in their journey?
Right.
And what's the appropriate messaging at that time point? Like, again, what is it that I really needed? And those are the sorts of things that I'm still exploring. I'm telling you, there's this whole grief process I'm going through.
Right.
Where I'm exploring what I was feeling during these times and why was it that it was so hard for me to even think about myself. And, you know, so that's all exploration. So Z, your point is very well taken in terms of, but that's what I want us to talk about. I want us to talk about that, because to me, I'm like, okay, you guys are my girls. You guys can tell me anything. You guys can, you know, and it might hurt my feelings for a minute, but I'm like, okay, whatever, but you guys can say anything to me. But we need to have that conversation with each other, you know, about, you know, what our perceptions were and how we were feeling in these situations. And then how then can we really help our communities around this sort of thing?
Mm-hmm. Right. The only reason why I pointed you out, because Tiffany, you are the most active, right? Like you're in Peloton, you are yoga, you are, you know, and so that's kind of why I.
But that was an interesting, you know, an interesting observation that I had just while you were talking, Karen, when you were like, you know, nobody told me. And I was like, well, I mean, I thought about that. And with you, you're right. When you moved here, you were overweight. I didn't know you before. You might have been overweight your whole life. You know what I mean? Like, now, knowing you now, seeing where you are now, if you go back up to 200 pounds, now I'm like, okay, well, something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
But just meeting you being overweight, this might have been something that you've been dealing with since you were 5. You might have had all kinds of issues. You know what I mean? Around that. So I don't know. You kind of have to meet people where you are. But what I did figure out for myself was, again, when I started making it a priority to take care of myself, I had capacity. Right. So I could say, oh, yoga really helped me. I think it would help you. And I told Zanetta, go to yoga. Not that she needed to lose weight or anything like that.
No, because she would disappear.
But just in general, it was so good for me mentally that I'm like, anyone can benefit from this mentally.
Yes.
Right.
So
when I started running, I called Chantel back and I'm like, I want to see her more active. So I was like, hey, this is the app I use that got me more active. Check it out. Check out this instructor. Do this. Meet me for live on the app.
So here's the deal. So part of what I want to talk about, because for me, and this is where my focus is going to be, it's not about exercise, Z. It's not about weight loss. It's about wellness, because it really is a mindset.
And that's where I am with it. That's why I think you can't just focus on the symptom of the pathology. You focus on the pathology itself, because in my survivorship, I'm sorry to cut you off. Keep going and then I'll.
No, please. No, go
well,
ahead.
I was just going to say in my survivorship discussion, I actually describe it as, you know, the cancer journey as PTSD.
Yes.
Right? Because what's happening is the war, instead of a gun being pointed in your face, there's a war inside your body. And something inside your body is trying to harm you. Mm-hmm. And I am giving you marching orders. I am telling you every day what you need to be doing, where you need to go, what medicines you need to take. And then all of a sudden, I take everything away. You're not in the war anymore. And I say, go be a civilian. Mm-hmm. And you still have the debris of war. that keeps coming up and that manifests in different ways. Like it messes mm-hmm. up your relationships. It's your health.
Right.
It's your right. job. I mean, it impacts every single facet of your life. And it doesn't have to be cancer. You can insert any trauma.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
And so that was my point. So
yes.
And so to that point, Black people in this country have trauma on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Again, we have to be willing to have and hear the conversation. So that's where I want to start next time. And with that, I'm going to hang up.
Free Black Docs is not intended as medical advice. All opinions are our own. Free Black Docs is produced by Wings Productions.
Like what you hear? Make sure you rate and subscribe. Three Black Docs is available wherever you get your podcasts.